Black Hollywood Live, what's up? It's time for conversations. I got two very special guests here from the film Driving While Black. Let's get it.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Conversations.
Cut your bitch fucking. Fuck it, Ice Trader Gang. Fuck it, Ice Trader Gang.
There you go. Oh, ice, that was mad natural. Ice Trader
Gang. Fuck it. See, Paul's the cool producer in the studio. Like, all right, this will sell. This will sell. He's
bring it down the treble.
Exactly.
Whatever they say.
What's going on, viewers? I'm your host, Khalil Wabubu. You're watching Black Hollywood Live Conversations. I'm very excited for today. If you've been living under a rock, all right, there's a new film coming out called Driving While Black. And today in the studio with me, I got the director and the star, Dominique Purdy and Paul Sapiano. Fellas,
what's up?
Thank you for being here. You were kind of far, but the love is still there.
Word.
Introduce yourself, tell them where they can find you online, Twitter and all that.
I'm Dominique Purdy. What should I do? Which one should I do?
This one right here.
Dominique Purdy. You can find me on Instagram at KTownOdd or on Twitter is Dominique Purdy, my government name. And you can find this guy on Paul Sapiano on all those things.
Yeah.
That's true. I helped him set up his IG. That's why he's checking.
But you also messed around with my Twitter once. We'll get to that later.
Whoa.
But that was fucking hilarious.
That was good, yeah.
That was... Yeah, I learned a lesson that time. Anyway, you introduced Dom as the star. It's always weird because we're creative collaborators on this film.
Uh-huh.
It's about his life. It's, you know, we wrote it together. And
right.
So, you know, it's not director stuff. We, you know, every day of the production and casting and post, we did it together.
Together. So. That's dope.
It's mm-hmm. like Ebony That's and Ivory. Dope.
Yeah. So let's go to a trailer of the movie for those who haven't seen it. All right. While we wait on that,
okay.
Can you give the people like a brief kind of overview about what the movie's about? Obviously, yeah. The title is
kind of right there. The movie's called Driving While Black. It's a dark comedy. It's based on, you know, my experiences growing up in L.A., dealing with the police, you know, having all kinds of drama. And basically, in the story, we show. And almost like a few days and a couple days and through flashbacks and different things on how someone, a black person mainly, or a person of color, gets the state of mind where you're like, fuck the police. It just doesn't, mm-hmm. like, you're not just born. There's some black people that, you know, grow up my age and don't really have that many bad interactions with the police. But it shows from, you know, a kid how you grow up and get that perspective.
Right.
You know, basically.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the trailer.
As a black man, I have to deal with an extra layer of bullshit on top of regular life. That's why when I get in my car, it's 1, buckle seatbelt, 2, adjust mirrors, and 3, nigga, check for cops. If I see any cops in my vicinity, I'm getting the fuck up off that street.
I see you down there, motherfucker.
Yeah, I see you too, motherfucker.
My fuck the police attitude didn't just happen overnight.
Oh, look at these little assholes. Think they run shit.
You guys headed to, huh? Some sort of gang meeting?
No! Hey, shut up!
Hey, light him up, light him up, light him up. You think they can read Dr. Seuss?
They ain't never even heard of Dr. Seuss. They heard of Dr. Dre.
Any weapons in the car? Passenger, put your hands on the dash, please, where I can see them.
Don't do it!
Come on, do it, boy!
I'll run!
The bricker shot, run!
Apprehend that motherfucker! Remember your training! Run carefully with your knives out!
I wonder which one of these this belongs to.
Probably the one in the marijuana jacket.
Hey! Seatbelt. Requesting backup.
Look at this thing!
Pull off
on
the gun.
Happens.
All right,
the popo will shoot you for having your black hand like this. Your hand is a gun.
Moments of life.
Well, looky what we got here.
We've been looking for you all day, boy. All day, boy.
Oh, shit, y'all.
So real. Too real. A little too real.
Yeah.
As a black man.
Right.
I've been black like my whole life.
Right, right.
And I've been driving for like half my life.
You got experience.
Like I really like just off the title, I was like that.
Right.
I'm with it. Let's.
And it's crazy because when people see the title, they think this shit is gonna be like some bootleg ass, like bad quality, like you know the ones you buy at a liquor store, uh-huh. You know, like a bad
outside
picture,
of Roscoe's with
blurry
the table
picture,
right?
You know, like, and then they see it, and then they're like, "Oh shit, this is. Are you for real? Oh, okay, this. Mm-hmm. Let's go. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?"
Now, obviously, it's based off your experiences and everything. What kind of inspired the movie? Like, was there a turn, or like what like inspired the?
I mean, well, I was always telling him about stuff that would happen to me. Like,
yeah.
Actually, I have a story that I made up.
What?
For instances like this.
Well, go ahead.
We were working on another project, The Boys and Girls Guide to Marijuana, a follow-up to Boys and Girls Guide to Getting Down.
Yeah.
And we were at a meeting, and he was late, and I asked him, why is he late? It's because I got pulled over, and I'm like, again? And that's how it really came about.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm always, like, in a story, I think, like, the last one I remember talking about before, like, this even, like, came into inception was of getting pulled over and having, like, you know, literally just coming from smoking weed somewhere, like, and, like, getting pulled over, and then they asked me, you know, have I been smoking weed, and I say no. Like, very high. No. And then I reached in my console. They want my ID. They have a cop on one side with the flashlight, right?
Right, for sure.
So I reach in there. I get my ID, but they see that I have, like, a jar of weed in there, you know what I mean? And then, like, they say, can you open that again for me? So, you want me to, you know, you ask somebody a question again when you were trying to think,
like,
real quick.
Like, what you going to say?
Open this again? You know, like, so I open it and pull me out. They put me in cuffs. They searched the whole car. They found a bunch of, like, empty weed containers in a bag in the back. Asked me, what's that about? You know, like, and maybe I'm selling it, but I'm, you know, just an art nigga. I just got all these things. I'm going to make some shit with it. You know, like. So I'm always having, like, random shit like that happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I made up that story is because shit does happen to him like that.
Yeah.
Which I, when he first told me about it, I was like, man, fucking Dominique whines a lot. And he's like, no, come and drive around with me. So I did. I'm going to take
these things off. Yeah. Thank lose it.
And it was kind of an eye-opener because there was some police that would U-turn and follow us for a little bit, and there's a couple that followed us around, even actually during the production.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even during the production, the post-production, he was, delayed when we were at that mix session.
Oh, yeah. The mix session, it's like it was an energy of, you know, I'm just hoping when they come out, you know, sound like police, like, seeing me in traffic. I was like, this is the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you out here making it hot for us. Right.
They don't want to cause a problem.
He was like, oh, my bad. You're the dude from the Driving While Black. Sorry. Go on. Continue Driving While Black.
So this movie, this film, won Mad Film Festivals. Mm-hmm. Highly decorated. What's the response for the people who have seen it? What's the response that you get after they watch it?
I mean, I always tell people the same thing. My greatest reference is when we were in, what was that, North Dakota, South Dakota? One of them. And there's 90-year-old white couple that liked the movie. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm talking a bunch of shit in the movie. It's mad, like, unrelatable white things in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, obviously, you 90 years old and you white, you came from a time where niggas couldn't even use the same bathroom.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Eat the same restaurants.
Exactly.
And they understood the movie. They got it. Right. You know what I'm saying? And what I feel a lot of the times is it makes people actually understand. Instead of a movie that's just like, we're just talking a bunch of shit, like, fuck the police, which easily I could have done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't really explain anything if I did it that way. Mm-hmm. So people would actually come out of the theater like, wow, I didn't really know it was like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I heard about it and I seen somebody get shot on TV. You know what I mean? But, like, I didn't know it was like the average person who is, hadn't done anything.
So they hit you with white guilt, basically, is what you're saying.
Right. It's a you know what it is? It's a fun white guilt movie. You have white guilt, but then you like, you know, you get to laugh. You like, mm-hmm. you're like, oh man, this is fucked up. Ha ha. Oh damn, that's fucked up. I mean, it's like a little, it's a bunch of waves of that, and then you know, some tension for mm-hmm. you towards the end. You know.
Paul, what's the response you get?
I'm just trying to process white guilt. I never thought of that while we were making it.
I mean, it's a natural, you know, it's a natural thing that white people have, white guilt.
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying?
What I liked, to answer your question, was there'd be law enforcement, and they would like it, and we'd be thinking, fuck, you know, they're probably not going to like it, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you saw it, that's what they said. What are they going to do? You know, what are they going
to
do?
That's fair, yeah.
I'd like to have a room full of police officers watching. I don't want to be there, I would like to know, you know, what was, they could fill out some kind of thing, I could find out what their mm-hmm. response was. But, you know, people, they're going to have, you know, there was a guy who was helping us on the movie, mm-hmm. black guy, we actually went to the same junior high, he's way older, obviously, but he was our technical advisor, named George Holt. And he was showing like how cops should pull out their gun and certain little technical things. Mm. And he understands both sides. You know what I'm saying? Because he understands that, you know, there's people out there abusing their power, and understands that, okay, there's the good cops out there too. So I think he was great to work with because he wasn't biased. He was kind of like, yeah, I get this, and I want to help this film to, because he has a son. He brought his son on the set. We put his son in the movie.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? His son is a part of it, so he really got involved with it. And that's kind of like, you know, if you're a cop and you're an actual person outside of being a cop, mm-hmm. you know, I think you would get what we're trying to do, you know?
I feel it. The cover.
Right.
Who came up with the image for the cover?
So a long process.
That image, fuck.
So my boy, mm-hmm. Ash, who's Slash's brother from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay.
He runs this thing called ConArt. It was a famous mm-hmm. hip-hop clothing brand. So I reached out to him, like, yo, you want to design this thing? He came back with this idea to DWB with a pickaninny with a wheel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, oh, shit. You know, I loved it. Of course, everybody was kind of like, had a little like, yo, Dominique.
Well, I came in to see it, and I remember I was late, and you had it out there, and I was looking at it. I was like, fucking hell. We can't use that,
right.
You know. But I really wanted to do something crazy and something to be, you know, with a lower budget film. Now, you got to make a noise.
And so now this one is a. So then it's like, okay, Pickaninny was, you know, when we got something off the internet, mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, this could be copyrighted artwork from somebody. Okay, so
but
cool.
It wasn't really that though. It was more about, we're going to make a sticker out of this. Who the fuck is going to put that on?
Right, right. We had to make people. We had to make people understand it a little bit more. You know, because when you look at that, you think it's you're not sure what it is.
Right.
So then another friend of mine named Brandy, who runs Hit and Run, is the big screen printing company. He's mm-hmm. really sick at doing logos and like flipping things, like using McDonald's and then making it say something mad woke or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He does a whole thing like that. So we took it to him and he kind of like softened it up and gave us our own, you know, blackface character that mm-hmm. doesn't exist. And then like, so, you know, we're looking at it and this is before the I's were in the W. And I was mm-hmm. like, man, I don't know what it is. It's good, but it's not. It's something missing. So, you know, then he hit me with an email the next day. He's like, yo, I was, you know, up smoking some weed last night, man. and I came out, this is perfect. And he sent it to me, two dots on top. So it's a little Klansman over top.
But that's like, what he means by eyes on the W.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. No, I peeped that.
Right.
And that's why I was
it's
like,
very low key.
This is a powerful image you got. Right. Low key at first glance. I thought he was eating watermelon. And I was like, wait, what? No, but
how the fuck?
Because I said it glanced. It was a glance.
You just saw all the colors of a watermelon.
It's
red.
It's like a steering wheel, obviously.
No, I know. Clearly, at the glance, I just kind of
need to get my watermelon placed on my car.
Yeah, you see, like, and then you have him looking up towards it, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it's a whole bunch of things.
Something wrong.
So once it was like that, and we had stickers of it, it's. Immediately when you look at it, you get that word. Mm-hmm. You get that we're saying this is a problem, mm-hmm. and not that like, oh, this is, you know, just some random racist sticker. Right, you know, you know, I see people with that on their cars. You know, so it's like it's pretty, because I wouldn't put that on my car, but you know, because I just don't want the attention.
But that's definitely a target.
Your girlfriend wouldn't let you if you don't know.
No, she had it on her car actually. Oh. Yeah, she's bold like that, but you know. It just makes me think about like us being in the car and like me and her having a conversation and like then the police are like come get behind you and it's like we act like we're still having a conversation but really she's not listening to what I'm saying and I'm just talking gibberish because all we're doing is concentrating on the police behind us, you know, like
checking out they don't see your shoulders moving while you're
right. You gotta like try not, or like sometimes you just like feel like if you do anything, you're doing something wrong. Like
well, you gotta have a plan when you get in the car, and you gotta tell everybody what you got on you. I swear to God, this is how you do it because it's not fair to be in other people's cars with a bunch of shit on you. You need to have a plan, seriously.
Yeah. I'm not gonna vouch for anything that he's saying about having shit on me. Please,
I'm not you.
I know that we know you're not talking about me, but this is. You don't have anything to worry about.
No.
Unless you do something, a crazy turn, or you know what I'm saying? You know, you do something really crazy, then you bring attention to yourself. But other than that, you're fine.
I had a friend, his mom.
You know his mom?
No. I had a friend whose mom.
Had a friend, his mom.
I had a friend.
Khalil!
Yo, what's poppin'?
What's happening?
What's going on?
I remember you.
No. My friend's mom was getting pulled over, right?
Uh-huh.
So she had some like red fruit punch in the thing that the
cup holder.
Thank you.
Okay.
And the cup holder gets pulled over, takes a swig of the fruit punch, opens the door and spits it out. And then as the cop is coming, she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I was really sick. It was really good. I couldn't hold it." Cop let her go.
Oh, that was good.
That's. You know, but have a plan, baby.
You know why? She's a mother.
I know,
she came from a different time. She already got tricks up her sleeve. I never heard of that one. That's good.
Yeah. Was it? It was actually fruit punch, though, right?
It was fruit punch. Yeah, it was fruit punch.
That worked.
Code for anything.
I think maybe she had some Robitussin food that she could like. She was already chewing. I don't know.
Right,
to make it look like throw up. But
right.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. I feel like if
it's a
you
good
know,
plan.
I feel like if I tried that though. Then they're like, "Yo, we need to take a breath a lot."
What did you?
No, I was like, "Oh man,
it's you tried that. What did you swallow?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna take down the hospital. We have to remove it.
Now, I know you guys wrote this together. It's based off experiences. Now, how real did you get in it, or was like some stuff exaggerated?
No, not
that's what I mean.
The funny thing, the only thing that's
we de-exaggerated. If there's a word for that.
Right, to be honest, was not enough that could be in this movie.
Mm.
But like the only thing that's exaggerated, which is I don't even know if I could really say that, is I never wanted to be a Hollywood tour guide. You know, that's the only thing. But we actually did go on one of those tours, get those jokes from a corny guy saying those jokes, and we were actually roasting the guy's jokes.
Yeah.
That was, you know what I'm saying? So
No. The thing, like when I'm watching it, like a lot of it I related to, but I'm just like, all right, now.
You want to be a tour bus driver too?
No, not that part. But like the whole getting pulled over part, I was
all
like,
all the stuff from when I was a kid, I was
well,
I'd was
be
riding
weird
around
if a black guy didn't relate to that part of it. And I don't know, I'm asked about how they feel about that shit in England. And I know there's racial problems there, but it's, I don't know, when I was growing up, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are black people that would not have the same reaction to it as you. Are you from LA?
No, I'm from South Carolina.
Okay.
So
it's worse. You're like, this shit is cool.
Weed is not even legal there.
It's like, we can smoke weed out here. It's like,
I've been pulled over more here than in South Carolina. I grew up in a majority black neighborhood.
Okay.
So it was kind of out here. I feel like I've had more police
encounters.
Where
do you live now?
I live right in this area, North Hollywood.
That makes sense though. Over here, they're really like. Especially late at night.
I've gotten the followed. I've gotten the light up for no reason.
Right.
Like
that's what I'm saying. You got all the shit in the movie is kind of like people go.
I bet your license, your registration is all in order, right?
No, it's not.
Right?
No, it's not.
Do you see what I'm saying? Though?
No.
But I didn't break any laws on the other than
the
that.
Point,
other
wait, than no, that. Hold on. The point is, if I'm abiding, but you missing the point. We abiding by the law.
No.
If I don't have a license, why are you following me anyway? I'm driving fine, perfectly fine.
I can't argue with it because it doesn't make any sense.
Right, there you go. You see, it's kind of mind-boggling, but it's true. It's like, you know, I drove without a license for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, expired license or whatever. Yeah. Suspended. And
expired.
Yeah, expired.
For 10 years.
Right.
No.
Like, suspended. But, you know, when I would get pulled over, they would say, you know, first they pull a bunch of guns out because they're like, right. Oh, he has a suspended license.
It's the element of suspense, not just
right.
the license.
Right. And then they would say, did you know your license is suspended? You know, they would say, did you know your license was suspended while a gun is on me? So, of course, I say, I go suspended. Well, no, I had no idea.
How do you know?
You know, because I didn't want him to take my car.
Right, right.
But, you know, the scenario why they pulled me over was, like, weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're following me around, like, for a while. Like, it's like, can you just pull me over?
Was your license plate light working, operational? Because there's always something. Yeah, you have to have the license plate light.
I mean, they say that.
No, but you do. But I'm saying,
all my shit could be cool. And it could just be like, it's like they got like some kind of like nigga sense or something. You know, they're like,
I actually feel the same way.
It's cold racial profiling.
You know what I'm saying? I feel the exact same way.
It's almost like, you know that thing sometimes? I think they go, let's just pull him over because he might, he might have something wrong. If he has everything cool, then all right, we let him go.
So knowing that, why would you drive without a license?
That's not a choice, really. It's
you
just
can't
like,
not drive.
It's not. Yeah, it's not like I was trying to not. It's just like I don't got the dough to pay for whatever this thing was that has
Lyft,
much.
And it's $6.
Man, Lyft wasn't really popping like that.
I know, but Lyft it is just now.
It is now. But
yeah.
You got no. All right, I stand corrected.
My license. So, my license cool now.
You know, my question for you is, Paul. When's the last time you got pulled
foot
over?
11.
Huh?
What? When's the last time I got pulled over? With him, actually, about a year ago, right?
Was that a year ago?
2 years ago?
I don't know.
I mean,
it don't count if it was me.
Only a
without,
year?
He's talking about without me.
Oh, yeah.
A whole year?
What you That's trying really to remember him for a year? Yeah, but do you understand how much attention I pay? I don't drive that much, and it's important to me to never get pulled over.
I applaud you.
The question is, really not in a long time he hasn't been pulled over. Because me driving...
Dude, I just did 60 hours at fucking Goodwill.
Yeah.
Community service.
Yeah.
For getting pulled over.
Yeah, what did you do, though? Why'd you get pulled over?
Well, you know that Bank of America on Hollywood and Sunset where it meets. And you're coming up... It's difficult to get in there, right?
Parking lot is underground.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, I may have changed the erratic lane and... Then I saw him behind me, and I tried to get in the bank, but I had to go past the gore point. Anyway, I really fucked up.
Right, so you did some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But they gave me 2 tickets for it.
What?
Oh. I know. Because I started arguing with him. And then I went to court.
See, wait, stop. They gave me 2 tickets because I started arguing with him.
No,
this is why you need to see Driving Wild Black People. This is why this movie is important.
Okay, no,
I will never argue.
Listen, I was trying to reason with him.
No, there's no reasoning. Please, give me a ticket so I can leave.
Can I just tell the story about the time? All right, I felt silly when you asked what my Twitter was. I didn't know because I don't have one. However, I had one a long time ago. I don't have any more. I deleted it after what you did.
You didn't delete it.
No, I don't use it. Anyway, so he's like, Paul, you're not using your Twitter to promote the movie. I'm like, man, I don't care about that shit. And he's like, well, give me a password. I'll do it. I'm like, fuck it. Okay, here it is. Anyway, for 2 weeks goes past. I look at my Twitter, and it's all like, yo, niggas ready for Driving Wild Black. Nigga, this nigga. It was fucking horrible.
From your page?
Yeah, from my page. And so I'd say, by the way, all the posts in the last 2 weeks.
You use your Twitter, man.
I know, what a dick. Yeah. You know?
That's pretty funny, though.
It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I loved it. But it was very, I made it clear that those 2 weeks of tweets, I wouldn't have said that word.
Right.
With an A on the end of it. It's not cool.
So,
and I don't, I use an S, not a Z. That's
right,
me.
Right.
All right. So the question begs itself, how did this dynamic duo start?
She had bad luck. No.
Oh, my God.
He's been like a mentor to me. I made a movie called The Boys and Girls Guide to Getting Down.
Right.
It's about if you like to funk and party. Mm-hmm. And we needed a black actor in it.
He's not telling it right. The thing is, the part I don't think was written for any specific race.
It was actually written for, it was for Hispanic.
Oh, okay.
It was. Can I tell you this?
Good.
Like, all right.
What?
You don't realize how good he is. Like you said, you can promote your song. He's on Stone's Throat, the record label.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like there was an audience here. Like, oh shit.
we add it in post.
I can see if I was like on TDE or something. Like, you know, like some kind of like super.
TDE?
Yeah, you know,
that's Kendrick Lamar.
I know TED, technology.
Or if like I was on Rock Talk. Nation or something, then people were like, "Oh, this is on Rock Nation? Okay."
Rock Nation.
You got a deal though. So I mean, we didn't even get to the rap part yet.
From the east to the west, he's the best. He wrote that.
Right.
A deal is
kind of like, you know, like I got a house. That they fronted me some cash for us. It's not that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He has to deal with the contract that he was on.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question.
Nice. You remembered to go back. Go ahead.
I forgot what the question was.
How did the dynamic duo start?
Right.
Well, it was many moons ago.
Okay, he's taking back to it. So I go to this audition, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, did you look at the script? And I'm like,
I don't speak that high.
You know, this is the best I could do off the cuff.
Did I look at the script?
Yeah, okay. I'll do it deep. Did you look at that script? You know?
Now you sound like Chappelle.
You know what I'm saying? So it's more like it's high. Let me just do it my way.
I asked him if he'd looked at the script.
Right. And then I said, you know, I skimmed over. He's like, forget the script. He's like, look, I'm going to just tell you what the scene's about. We'll just improv.
Right.
Cool, we did that, talked a bunch of shit, he fucked with it.
It's about it.
Yeah, and then he was like, okay, when we had scenes in the movie, there was like scenes that got...
So, the callbacks, right? We can't afford a proper casting studio, so we've got this room, and it's got like a little, mm-hmm. like a curtain. And the idea is the other actors can't hear. I mean, but it was just so, you know, we were doing it on a shoestring.
Yeah, shoestring budget, I get it.
So, there were three people calling back for this role. The first one came in, the second one came in, mm-hmm. and he did it so good that the third guy at the callback walked in and said, you need to hire that guy. I didn't even want to just, yeah, that's how good he was.
Okay.
Story kind of anticlimaxed at the end. Huh?
Dope.
But, you know, yeah, but the thing is, he just let me do my thing in the movie. He's just like, yo, I'm going to put the camera on. You remember what this scene is about?
He's like my Let's equal go. But opposite.
A what?
My equal but opposite.
Oh, I thought you were
equal. I know.
Well, you could come in a little bit. You kind of cut off. Slide over. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now you're back in there. You go. He's back, y'all. Half your arm was out of his. All right. But, you know, yeah, just like being able to like work with somebody who's like kind of like trusting.
The nice thing about being a writer, he's super, you know, very good at. And I get to take credit for that shit in my first two movies. Not in this one, though, because it's about a black dude.
Right.
But you directed it, so, you know, your name is right there, you know.
But you know
I know, but he was but beside cool me all the way through like, going,
yeah, he's
watch that noise.
Right. Yeah. Squeeze that. Yeah.
Squeeze that?
You don't work for Boys in the Hood?
Boys in the Hood. I did watch All Eyes on Me last night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But, you know, like, and during the movie when we're shooting too, it's like we can collab because I know him. You know, I call him my white British uncle.
That's what you call me.
No, he definitely gets an invite to the cookout.
Right? No, he definitely for sure.
I'm,
you know,
I'm busy.
He'll always be dressed head to toe.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, during the scenes,
sometimes he go top.
Right.
What the fuck?
You know what I mean? All right. Yeah. When we say dress, you know, that's all you gotta say. You know what I'm saying?
Gucci done rollied up, innit?
Right.
That's it.
That's correct.
Right.
You understood what that meant?
Yeah, of course.
What did it mean?
It means you're wearing designer clothing.
And?
And fancy jewelry. Correct. A nice expensive watch.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Why did you? Of course I know. Yeah.
Rolly, do you know what that means?
Rolly?
Rolly.
Yeah, I know what a rolly is.
Putting a twang on it, but yeah.
Rolly.
Bro, hip hop has taught me everything.
Rolly is a city in North Carolina, but no, I hear you.
Rolly, Gucci and Rolly up, innit?
Right.
Who fends a nice cut of splosh?
See, don't be trying to throw that right, sorry, cogni yeah, on there. on there.
<I'm>, all right. sorry.
But, you know, it's like we're easy to collab like that because, yeah. you know, like, he's like, you know, he's a young spirited person.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a
party animal.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? you know, I could, you know, I might get a call like at 5 a.m. Like, he might just tell me some funny story because mm-hmm. he hasn't been asleep yet. You know, he's been out partying. and, like, it's hilarious. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like hopefully, I can finally convince him to do it, I call him also the British Larry David. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Because he's like.
You're doing a Black Seinfeld.
Right. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, I would be like the agent guy. But really, I would be like J.B. Smooth.
You'd be like his you know best friend's wife.
Oh, yeah. So we're not doing Seinfeld. We're doing
Curb.
Curb.
Because he's the British Larry okay. David. Like, you know, these situations he gets into. But it's way more adult. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, obviously, nightlife and all kind of shit like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And just, you know, I think that's why the dynamic works, because we're completely different, but we have the same kind of like.
I'm like a big brother to you.
You're like an uncle, bro. Don't try to make yourself a brother, older.
I tried to be a big brother once, and I went down to that place on Hollywood Boulevard because I wanted to give something back. No, but they had this list, like, questionnaire. and got to, like,
do you realize what you just said?
No.
No, it sounded like you said, I want to be a big brother, but then I went down to the thing because I wanted to give him back. That's what it sounded like to me.
Oh, give the brother back.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, they wouldn't even give me a chance because I went down, they had all these questions, right? And by uh-huh. number 4...
You didn't qualify.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
What was it?
Have you ever been arrested for felony? What?
Right. Yeah.
Just it wasn't.
felony arrest. You're like,
But that was like the second one I got wrong.
You know, I left something in the car.
Right.
I left something in the car. We'll be right back.
Right. exactly. Wow.
I feel it.
Khalil.
So you saw the movie, right?
I did.
So what did you get out of it? You know, I mean, obviously you got the things, you know, that uh-huh. you're obviously supposed to get, but when you watched it, like, you know, what, like, things affected you when you saw it, like?
Were you about to?
No, I like this part.
Okay. Right? Opening scene.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Opening scene. I was like, where are you taking me? Because, am I about to be upset?
Right.
Or, like, is this a dream?
Right.
Is this going to take a twist, like where you taking me, because you touching on some sensitive stuff right. Opening scene,
right?
And
did you watch any more of the movie?
No, yeah. yeah, so like I'm trying to talk about
right,
it
without telling
it, right. So once we got past that, I was in it. I'm okay. Like, all right, I'm here, I'm
right.
with it,
right?
Where we going? I'm down for the ride,
right.
And then throughout it, there were just a lot of things that, like we said earlier, that resonated with me, that I experienced. I'm not even from LA. I've only been out here like 5 years.
Right.
But I also appreciated showing the side of other minorities.
Right.
Which was thrown in the film as well.
Right.
We got the Indian dudes and their right. experiences.
Right.
And so like that was all that the cop, I forget, was she like Filipino or something?
Oh, yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
Chia Tejada.
Right.
Yeah, I like the scene with the two Indian dudes, and they go, man, these fucking idiots think that we're Muslims.
Right,
they
right,
say
right.
In Punjabi. Right.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I don't know that language.
So all of that just was like, it was good to just see it in. Because, you know, I don't really watch nothing but Marvel movies, if we're going to be honest. But
you excited about that Black Panther, huh?
Right. Ready, but so
what
it
about
was just,
Black Lightning. That's on tonight too.
I mean, it's a
I watched
TV
half
show.
Of it.
The movie, that movie's gonna make a lot of money. They might set a record.
Black Panther.
Like, that's like they got like black people's like, I'm sleeping outside the theater.
Yeah, black people's
Panther.
Like, we not bootlegging this.
Right.
We ain't bootlegging this, y'all. You know.
Be somebody standing up in front of.
Hey, don't bootleg this movie, y'all.
Don't do it.
Black Panther, go to the theaters.
Yeah.
Why are you plugging another movie?
What?
I guess it's good to.
What, talk about Black Panther?
Yeah,
Hey, we a part of the whole thing, man. We got black in the title.
We got. Maybe they might. They were like, oh, let me go to the black movie, and then they'll end up in this one.
Driving Wild Black Panther.
Blanket. I'm a superhero officer.
Yeah.
Nah, but all right, we're running out of time. Any final words? Any plugs? Anything coming up? Where can they see the movie? Well,
go to the website, dwbmovie.com, and we have some screenings around LA, which you can buy tickets for.
There'll be screenings all over, actually.
All over the country.
And also, too, you can go to our website and find out how you can host your own screening. Because basically, you know, we're kind of like trying to take it to the people. People want to watch it in whatever city or state they're in. You can be like, oh, let me check this movie out. Start your own screening, have your people come see you like that. And, you know, soon, obviously, it'll be available on all digital platforms.
In about 2 months, we think. So you can go to the website and sign up, and we'll send you information about that.
Nice. In addition, you can follow Dominique. We can follow about the learn about the music thing.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, I'm on Instagram under K-Town Odd. KTOWNODD or Dominique Purdy on Twitter. No, that's with an E.
Your name?
Yeah.
There's an E?
Yeah. You think about Dominic?
Purdy.
No. Oh, yeah, Purdy. Purdy would know.
Everyone knows how to spell Dominique.
Nah, some people think it's, you know, people try to be different. Anyways, like, but yeah, Dominique Purdy on Twitter.
Where did K-Town Odd come from?
Koreatown. Uh-huh. Koreatown, that's where I was born and raised, in Koreatown. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, obviously, I've seen.
Not South Koreatown, North Koreatown, the rough part.
Right. Right. And so, like, you know, Koreatown, Oddity, you know, I'm like.
He did an album, it came out recently. I like to brag about this. It hasn't got a word of fucking English on it. It's all in Korean characters.
Right.
That's how fucking odd you are. Right. Who does that?
I don't know. The songs
are like black as fuck.
Right.
It's one of the songs.
Right.
Why do you have any English words on there? Nobody's gonna understand it.
I mean, I wanted to have it look
like. It does stand out, and I talk about it. Well, because it's just so weird.
Well, it's just like, you know.
It's great, though.
It kind of like, it's a name that, like, wherever I go, like, I always know where that's where it came from. It defines, it's like the Koreatown Oddity. I always say it's a fact and it's the truth. You know, I was that dude. Like, people come to my house, you know, I'm making a weird video or, you know, like, chopping up something on two VCRs or, like, doing just all kind of weird stuff at my house. Like, in high school, people always come over there. So I just was the Koreatown Oddity, you know. Just, it came naturally, the name came out, you know.
Nice.
Paul Albert Generoso Sappiano, a.k.a. The Preventer, because I prevent accidents.
The Preventer, that's his own Preventer. Yeah.
I'm thinking about changing it to The Precluder, though.
And you can have more than one alias.
I do.
Wu-Tang had like 20.
Promises. Right. I changed mine legally to The Duke of Disco in England by Deedpol.
See, the thing is, he calls himself the Preventer. That's the nickname. Uh-huh. But it's after he spills something on himself, then he says, I'm the Preventer, because the next time he'll catch it. It's kind of like a weird.
That's so not what happens.
That has happened.
Do you even know how I got that name?
Yeah.
Now you got to say it.
Well, there were some girls at the bar, Harvard and Stone, I go to a lot.
You got 20 seconds.
They were sitting at the bar, and they had a drink right here. Anyway, I could see it was going to, they were, you know, drunk girls and everything. And they did this. The cocktail fell. I caught it.
The Preventer.
Put it back on the table before it spilled.
The Preventer.
I was the Preventer ever since then.
You killed that with 4 seconds to spare.
Killed that. Well, Preventer, K-Town Oddity, I appreciate y'all being with us in the studio.
Thank I put the PR Thank event you. Prevent.
One more time, tell them where people can find the movie.
DrivingWildBlackMovie.com or DWBMovie.com. And please. Tell people about it and
check it out.
Let them know.
And if you go to the website, you'll find out when it's
where it's screening. Yeah.
And when it's going to be available.
Peace, Khalil. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
you guys being here. I'm your host, Khalil Boo Boo. You're watching Black Hollywood Live Conversations. Remember to like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next time.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Crispin, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.